My dear faithful, we know that in the history of the church, God, the providence of God is such that he raises up those saints that are needed for the times in which those individuals lived. And we celebrate two major feasts this week. Of course, Thursday is St. Joseph, Tuesday is St. Patrick. I'm going to leave the preaching on St. Joseph to Father Benedict, and I'd like to speak a little bit about St. Patrick. We know that he was taken captive very young from his home in Britain, and that more than likely he lived a somewhat comfortable life being the son of an employee of the Romans, basically, employed by the Roman government. And so his life was probably fairly well off and comfortable. And he even writes in his confession that during that time he was not very close to God. I think he uses the term that he was far from God. Of course, he's taken at 14, 15, 16 by raiders, and he's sold into slavery. And he was made a shepherd, which is, of course, striking, that that would be, in a certain way, it was a foreshadowing, a type of his future mission that God was going to give him. But if you read his confession, it's actually quite short, it's only about 64 paragraphs long, and I'll just give you a few tracks from that now. After I arrived in Ireland, I tended sheep every day, and I prayed frequently during the day. More and more, the love of God increased and my sense of awe before God. So God is using, his captivity was like his Lent, wasn't it? It was 6 years of hard work and suffering, and who knows how many times he really had to make an act of faith to not despair or give up, to go from a comfortable life in his home to a foreign place where he didn't speak the language and in which he's employed as a slave. They could take his life at any moment if they wished. He was completely at the mercy of his master. But God's grace was working in him. It was, for him, it was not, that captivity for St. Patrick was not his end. It was his beginning. It was the grace he needed to realize his vocation. I prayed frequently during the day. He lifted up his heart to God. More and more, the love of God increased. The more that he corresponded with God's grace, the more grace God gave him. And my sense of awe before God, so much grace that as he realized what was happening, his sense of who God is and who he was and the difference between them and how good God was made him in awe of God. He continues, faith grew and my spirit was moved, so that in one day I would pray up to 100 times, and at night perhaps the same. We know that in his later life as a bishop, that he would pray in freezing cold water, he'd pray all 150 psalms in the night in freezing cold water. I remained in the woods and on the mountain, and I would rise to pray before dawn in snow and ice and rain. It's a far cry from when we wake up in the morning, our alarm goes off, and what's the first temptation is to not make that morning offering. And it's so simple, isn't it? Just kneel down 30 seconds, quick little prayer, give God your day, ask him for the grace you need. So we have no excuse. We read the life of St. Patrick. He would rise to pray before dawn, and we're talking life as a slave. He's not like he's got 8 hours and he's got 2 half-hour paid lunch breaks. His life is very, very difficult. Yet he finds the time to pray. In fact, he anticipates. He gets up before the sun even rises. He continues, I never felt the worse for it. He was glad of that sacrifice. He was excited to pray, to communicate with God. He continues, and I never felt lazy, which is kind of amazing. Usually we feel that pull of our concupiscence to, well, prayer is difficult. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. As I realize now, the Spirit was burning in me at that time. God's grace was working in him, and he cooperated with it. My dear faithful, we could only imitate St. Patrick in his ardent love of God. If we would only let the grace of God lead us on in the practice of virtue, how happy we would be in this life and in the next. What great peace we would live in union with God. Just goes to show that he was far from God when he lived in the pleasures and comforts of his home. And when those pleasures and comforts were taken away from him, it was like God hitting him over the head. I like to end with a quote by St. Therese of the Child Jesus. I know it's St. Patrick, but I really like St. Therese. And I think it sums up, we might say, how he cooperated with the grace of God in that moment, because he could have given up. That could have been the end of him. And perhaps if he had never been captured, we would have never heard of St. Patrick. Ireland would have not become the Isles of Saints and Scholars, over 1,000 canonized saints out of Ireland, because of one man's mission to correspond with the grace of God. But I'll end with this quote by St. Therese. Everything is a grace. Everything is the direct effect of our Father's love. Difficulties, contradictions, humiliations, all the soul's miseries, her burdens, her needs, everything. Because through them, she learns humility, realizes her weakness. Everything is a grace because everything is a gift of God. And this is the kicker, this last line. This should be our Lent. Every Lent, it should be our whole life, but especially Lent. Whatever be the character of life or its unexpected events, to the heart that loves, all is well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.